Welcome to session two of your mentorship. So let's take a moment and breathe into our bellies. Just take a minute and ground your energy. Again, if you'd like to smudge your space, smudge your computer, you're welcome to do that. Take a moment and ground, connecting in with Los Arboles, the trees, Apukuna, the mountains, Nustakuna, the sacred rivers and waters, Pachamama, the earth, the cosmos. Breathing into your bellies, just take a moment and ground your energy, just letting go of all the stress of the day, all the to-do lists. I can see some of y'all smudging, that's awesome. Well, I'll just send this through energetically to each other. Just breathe into your bellies. Invoking the pillars of this temple, and as I invoke these energies, I send them through the realms energetically to your physical space, so that where you are is activated in the same energetic grid that I am activating in my physical space, and we are linked together as a group in the ceremonial sacred space. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below. Breathe into your bellies. Activating this temple grid space so that we are in medicine world. Everything is welcome as pure love and pure medicine. Gracias Pachamama, gracias Apukuna, gracias Nustakuna. Gracias Arcángeles. Estrellas, celestial realms. Thank you, star beings. Thank you, ancestors. Thank you, winged ones and four-leggeds, insect kingdom and reptile kingdom, beings that live in the waters. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Gracias, Aranya, for activating this energetic grid. Huchamikwi, huchamikwi, huchamikwi. Cleanse, clear, transmute, and transform any stuck energies, any hucha that would impede our session this evening, so that we are in flow, in equanimity, in harmony, in balance. Open, receptive. Kundor, kundor, kandor, kandor, gracias. Puma, puma, gracias. Sapiente amaru, sapiente amaru, gracias. Aguila, pica flor, siwar quinti. Mamakia, del sol. Wairakocha, Inti Taita, Mama Kocha, Kuichi. Thank you for being with us and supporting us in this session this evening. And I invite in your guides, your teachers, your support team in the realms. I ask that your guides would make themselves tangibly known to each of you with grace and ease. As you breathe into your belly, feel your team, any guides, even if it's just one guide, feel them right next to you, right where you physically are, standing with you in support and solidarity. And I send my team in the realms to be with each of you to continue to support and assist for your highest and greatest good. Gently breathe into your belly. And if you'd like, you can keep your eyes closed or you can open your eyes. I'm just going to talk for a moment about what we're going to do next before we step into questions or individual work that you'd like to do. It's always coming up. There seems to always consistently be a lot of energy around money for people. And I'd like to do some cord clearing with money. That was what I was very specifically guided to do tonight on behalf of each of you, with each of you. If you have total prosperity, financial flow, everything's groovy for you in the prosperity department, beautiful. Keep running those programs. That will support and assist everyone else that you know. If you are not flow in the prosperity department, then we need to shift those programs. Okay. And regardless of your relationship with money, cleaning up any energy with the paradigm and the programs of money as we do this clearing will support in every other aspect of your life. It will also support the rest of the world. It will support everyone that you know. It will support your family and your lineage. So even if it doesn't seem resonant for you to do this, because you feel clean and clear and fully in alignment prosperity-wise, it will support everything else in your world because you're just cleaning up any excess attachments or old paradigm programs with money. I've received so many emails and Facebook messages around prosperity challenges that I'm creating a program to start sharing with people. And tonight, we're going to do a shamanic journey. We're going to connect with the spirit of money. We're going to do some cord clearing around that to support and assist you. But please remember that this isn't just about money. But money is the place that triggers most people. It's the place where most people have written stories that are not supportive. They're unconsciously writing programs. And so it is a really potent place to shift everything else in your world. So that is the first thing we're going to do. I'm going to walk you through a journey, do a little clearing around that, and then I'm going to check in with you and have some interactive time. Okay? Everybody good with that? Okay. Excellent. So, again, as we go into the shamanic journey, if you're able to, you're going to want to close your eyes and really work with your sacred imagination and visualize what you see. Find a space that's very grounded, like a jungle or a forested type space. Create that in your sacred imagination. And I'm going to move this to speaker view so I don't see all of you all walking around, but it's not letting me see myself on speaker view. So I'll just... Paige, is there any way for you to turn it so that it's, for some reason when I hit speaker view, I'm getting Jill. Is there any way to turn it on to me so I can't see everybody else? If there's not, that's okay. I'll just leave it. We'll keep going. It's just there's like all 15 or 16 different boxes. That's okay. I'll just ignore it. I'm going to pretend that you're not all moving around. So when you go into the shamanic journey, work with your sacred imagination. Don't worry about if you're making it up. Don't even worry about that. Let your monkey mind let that go. We're going to use your portal door that you've been using from last time. We're going to step into a sacred space that's very grounded that you create in your sacred imagination. You're going to connect with your guides. We'll see if somebody new shows up. You can connect in with your teachers and your guides and whoever you'd like to work with. And then we're going to connect with the spirit of money, and we're going to really connect in with how you view that energy unconsciously, any shadow energy around that. you know, if you don't want to be rich, that's totally fine. We still want to clear any old paradigm programs around this so that the rest of your energy is more free and clear. Okay. So let's take a moment and breathe into our bellies. Close your eyes if you're able to, if you're somewhere safe and grounded where you can do that. And just ground your energy, invoking the beautiful medicine of our tree tribe to support and assist in sending energetic roots into the earth. And just feel your energetic roots flowing down into the earth, linking in with Pachamama and receiving the energy of the earth up through those roots and into your body so that you are held and supported and nourished, stabilized. And Paige, I want you to unmute everybody and mute it back so that it'll go to me as speaker. Okay. Didn't work. And now I've got feedback. Now mute everybody. Me. Thank you. Perfect. So breathe into your bellies and just let all this distraction just teach you how to work in the world, because the whole world is full of distractions. Breathe into your bellies and in your sacred imagination with your eyes closed, visualize your portal door. Just keep it simple if this is your first time creating a portal door. And when you're ready, you can step through that portal door and into your sacred space. Take a moment and look around. See what you see there. Connect in with any trees or plants that want your attention. Any animals that might be showing up seeking your attention that would like to work with you. Of course, welcome in your guides. Just take a minute and connect in with these energies. Bring them close so that you can see clearly who you're working with. And if any of your guides have gifts for you at this time that will support your highest and greatest good, then ask them to receive a gift. It's okay if you're not sure what it is, and if you're not sure what to do with it, just bring it into your heart, breathe into your belly. Once you've received gifts from your guides, breathe into your belly and invite in the spirit of money, However you see it is perfect. Ask the spirit of money to make its way to you so that you can work with it as an archetype, as a guide, as an energy to create conversation. And really allow yourself to see a visual of the spirit of money. Make it as tangible as possible so that you can track the energy of how you relate to money. Perhaps it seems very sweet and benevolent. Perhaps it's just a big glob of goo. Perhaps it's a trickster that can never seem to be clear with you. Perhaps it's an old man. Perhaps it's a goblin. Perhaps it's whatever you get. It's perfect. Really get a visual of that spirit. And when you can see what you visualize in your sacred imagination as your representation for the spirit of money, I want you to repeat after me out loud as you speak to that spirit. And I want you to say, at this time, I ask your forgiveness, money, for any time I hurt you or took your power, intentionally or unintentionally, throughout lifetimes and timelines, throughout dimensions and realms. Breathe into your bellies. And then repeat after me, at this time, I forgive you, money, for any time you hurt me or took my power, intentionally or unintentionally, throughout lifetimes and timelines, throughout dimensions and realms. I return to you what is yours. I reclaim for me what is mine. I transmute and transform all unhealthy attachments between us. Our energies are free and clear. So be it, it is so. And breathe into your belly. Just allow your guides to support and assist in cleansing and clearing any energetic attachments, hooks, cords, karma, soul contracts that are no longer serving your highest and greatest good between you and the energy, the paradigm, the program of money. Returning and restoring your power to you, returning and restoring money's power to it so that your energies are truly, fully, wholly, free and clear with grace and ease throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, realms, throughout the multiverse right now. So be it, it is so. And I'm going to invoke and call forth the Munari, who will support and assist with psychic and energetic surgeries for any of you that would like to receive their support at this time. With grace and ease, they will begin to work with you, to work on you, to deactivate any hoochah-filled programs around money, any old programs, non-supportive programs that you have been running throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms that have to do with prosperity, money, finances, wealth, abundance, deactivating all unsupportive programs with grace and ease, and activating with grace and ease the highest vibration that you can manifest in the third dimension at this time, of the most healthy connections, the most supportive programs around money, prosperity, worthiness, self-love, abundance, flow, finances, wealth, support, nourishment, nurturance, connection. Invoking Archangel Uriel to support and assist in awareness, consciousness, activations, enlightenment, understanding. And breathe into your bellies. And the counsel I'm receiving is that you will continue to be actively worked on for the next 42 to 78 hours. As the Minari continue to work on you, just tell them thank you, tell your guides thank you. You can feel yourself stepping back through your portal door into your physical space and bring your guides and bring the Minari with you to circle up around you in your physical space. And when you can see them, or feel them with you, you can close the portal door behind you and gently open your eyes. So I heard counsel very clearly say to write down a number, a financial number that you would like to receive in the next 3 weeks. Make it something that you actually believe can happen. If you write down $1 million and you don't really believe that you'll get $1 million in the next 3 weeks, then you won't. So write down a number just to play with it, just to play and see what can happen without any attachment or story to how it's going to show up for you. Okay? And see what happens in the next 3 weeks as you continue to activate these programs that the Minari are supporting you in running that are new paradigm. And if you're already financially flowing, then play with the number as well and give it away. Give it to charity if you don't need it. Okay. So let's see if anybody has any questions. There's anything, especially you can ask me about what we just did. You can ask questions that are completely unrelated. That's just what was coming up over the last couple of days. So I wanted to do some financial work today. I don't usually do that. I used to do an abundance workshop and I haven't really done those in a couple of years. So that was an unexpected offering for today. And I trust that you received what you need. And so if you have any questions, message me. Should you do something each day for the next 3 weeks? Tracy Prater is asking that. If you want to do anything for the next 3 weeks, stay in gratitude is the first thing I'm receiving. Stay in gratitude for what you do have, not even just financial what you have, just everything that you have. If you're able to be on Facebook, you're more prosperous than most of the world, than a lot of the world. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And abundance is everywhere. The trees are abundant with leaves, and the mountains are abundant and lush. And we have fresh, clean water to drink and clean water to breathe. And there's so much abundance and prosperity already around you. So stay focused on that. And if those of you who like, a gratitude journal is a great thing to do. Morning or evening, write down what you're grateful for. I have a comfy bed. I have a safe place to sleep. I have whatever it is. That's the first counsel I'm receiving, is to focus on what you are grateful for. The second counsel I'm receiving as I listen is to let the Munari know every day, at least once a day, just say, I'm open to receive. And they know, because we're talking about this right now, that's your way of saying, not only are you open to receive abundance, but you're open to receive the support and assistance that they're bringing around those activations and those programs. Because I'm working in a program area, and I'm not working with your stories. Your stories are created from the programs. So we want to skip your stories, because the stories are just, you know, that's like giving yourself a facial but eating McDonald's every day, right? The facial is the story. We want to shift what's internal. So I'll do it with you for the next 3 weeks, every single day, at least one time during the day, I'm going to say, I am open to receive. Let's play with it. Let's see what happens. And especially if we all do it as a group, if how many people are on this call? 22 people are here. If 22 of us say, I'm open to receive every single day, and we're linked in energetically, stuff is going to amp up. That's cool. I mean, that's exciting. I think that's really neat. And I'm curious to see how it shifts for you. And if you get those unexpected shifts, even if you find a penny in the same place unexpectedly for 3 days, share it in the Facebook group. Tell other people so that you get them remembering. So, and remind me so that I'll remember I told you this, because I'm actually listening to spirit right now and channeling. So remind me that we're going to say I'm open to receive every day. And there's one more thing. Let me check in. Okay, so in any place in your life where you're focused on what you don't have or what's not working, stop staring at that, okay, energetically, physically. If there's some person who's driving you bonkers and you've been focused on them for months, that's not shifting it. That's not helping you. I'm not invalidating whatever the experience is. I'm simply saying if you keep scratching the itch, it will not heal. So be really mindful to track those places in your life where, and I'm talking to everybody, not just to you, Tracy, where any of you are, just find yourself constantly pulled back to that low vibration of whatever it is that's triggering you, and reshift. Every time it triggers you, reshift. It's a beautiful day. There's blue skies. I hear birds. I have a beautiful place to live. I'm healthy. I can physically walk. I can see. I can hear. You know, I mean, really tap in with all the things you're grateful for. There's another thing that's been coming up. I'm going to add this as well, because it's been coming up a lot in the tobacco ceremonies that we're doing, where people state their I ams, and they also state what they'd like to integrate and heal. And one thing that we've been tracking with my students and apprentices is that they'll have the same prayers over and over and over again. So if your prayer is, let me think of something. I really want this great job with such and such. And you've been praying that for the last 3 months. Let it go. Like, stop asking for the same stuff over and over and over. Because what happens is we get into a rut, and we feel like we're calling it in and we're praying for it and we're going to manifest it. But what we're really doing is we're so focused on, I want this thing, I need this thing, I want this thing, I need this thing, that we're actually just focused on that we don't have it. And we get into this habit of asking for the same thing over and over. I want to let go of this thing. I want to heal this thing. And I get that you want that to happen. And if you just keep saying it over and over and over and over and over, it becomes more of a drain. And you're really just focusing on the fact that it hasn't happened yet, right? So stop asking for the same prayers. Just stop. You've put those out into the multiverse knows. If it hasn't happened yet, then you need to be looking at other things. And what'll happen is you'll start shifting your energy because, and I've done this too in the past, where I've just like asked for the same thing over and over. And then I went, oh, I'm just in a rut with this prayer. And it's just like spinning your wheels out. So if you find yourself asking for the same thing over and over, just go, okay, I've put that out there to the multiverse, that rocket of desire, like Abraham would say, that's out there. Now I'm going to focus on what is working, what I do have, what does feel good, and perhaps I'll try to play with some other things I'd like to invoke and manifest. So that's something that I want to put out there too, because that's an interesting energy to track, where we can get in ruts with our prayerful practices.
Bloom.
Yeah.
Billy's asking if you can explain the Minari a little bit more.
Yes, I totally can. The Minari are beings that I met about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, maybe. How old am I? Goodness. Back when I was 7 years old. No, I'm just teasing. Because I'm only 24. No, it was probably almost a decade ago, but I met them through an elder out in Mount Shasta who I was working with, and we were doing a phone session, and she's super cosmic lady. And she called in these beings called the Munari, M-U-N-A-R-I is how I spell it. You won't find them. I can see everybody writing M-U-N-A-R-I in case I said that too fast. You won't find them online because they're not like the Pleiadians or something like that that you can Google. If you do find something online, let me know. But so I was working with her, and she called in these beings called the Munari. Now, I'm in my home on the phone. I'm not physically with her when this was happening, but I saw these beings show up. And I said, whoa, who are these guys? And she said, you can see them? And she was so thrilled that I have vision, so that I could see everything she was calling in. So she said, these are the Munari. And she introduced me to them. And I think the first thing they said to me was, are you ready for the upgrades? And I was like, yes. I mean, they totally talked to me like a computer. And I had never talked to anything like that before. They're really the ones who start teaching me about programs and how everything here is an energetic grid, and we're popping in programs that we're running either consciously or unconsciously. And when we can see it in that way, we step out of our drama and our trauma and our story and our attachments, and we can stop, we can deactivate certain programs and activate the ones that we want to run. And a lot of these programs are passed down through your DNA and lineage and culture, and they're so, some of them are so insidious that you don't even know you're running a program. So they would talk to me like a computer and ask me if I was ready for the upgrades and are you ready for your activation? And I would just say yes, even if I had no idea what they were talking about, which was most of the time. And in the time that I met them for the first 6 months, I ended up going from living in a tiny little garage studio, $300 place to like living in a 3-bedroom house. I went from wanting to write a book to 6 months later, it was finished and published. That's my first book, Shaman's Toolbox. I mean, they really activated my world like Bloom 8.0 in a matter of months. And so however you visualize them and see them is perfect. I'm not going to tell you how I see them because I don't want to put anything on your imagination. They will show up however you need to see them. And a lot of people see them a similar way. There's two different ways that people tend to see them most, and they'll tell me how they see them. And so a lot of people are seeing a similar vibration. People are seeing them. So I know that they're talking about the Munari. When they say to me, oh, this is how I saw the Munari. And people, there's a couple different ways that they tend to see them, which are similar. So you're probably seeing them very similar to how most people see them. My elder friend says that they are a collective energy. So for me, there's a sense of like, I'll circle up a bunch of them around me to work on me to do psychic and energetic surgeries, but they all work together as one united consciousness, if that makes sense. Kind of like Abraham is one consciousness, but there's a whole, but it's a them. So they literally will open you up and do psychic and energetic surgeries. So if you want to receive activations, attunements, upgrades, downloads, physical healing, they are amazing at physical healing. If you're having any physical healing challenges, they are a huge support, and they will do psychic and energetic surgeries on you. So just tell them what you want. If it gets too intense, ask them to slow it down. They'll bring it back, because it can get intense. And some of you who are on the call, a number of you have worked with them and can share in the Facebook group your experiences with them, because most of you know that they're potent. They're really powerful. And I trust them inherently. I was in a plant medicine ceremony one time, and I was altered because of the plant medicine I had ingested. And I asked the Munari to show up, and it was real third dimensional. I mean, real third dimensional. And it was very tangible. And I started to get a little nervous. And the maestro of the plant medicine ceremony, I was speaking to him in the realms, and he said, do you trust them? Talking about the Munari. And I had that moment of, oh crap, can I trust these energies I've been working with for the last 5 or 6 years? This was a few years ago. And I immediately knew, yes, I could. And I looked at the maestro in the realms, and I said, I trust them inherently. And all the fear cleared. Everything got clear. It was just like a test or something. Like I was messing with myself to see if I could trust myself. It was so interesting. And my connection with them just amplified after that. I really do trust them inherently. And they have always been beneficial, benevolent, supportive, and definitely here for your highest and greatest good. And they can assist with anything. They are part of my team, part of my healing team in the realms. When I send you support, when my team starts working with you, they're part of that team that's working with you. So I really like them. So thanks for asking about them. And I think it was Caitlin who sent me a message on Facebook. She said she wasn't able to talk, so I'll just go ahead and tell you. She said I showed up in a dream for her, and so she was asking if that was archetypal or symbolic or if that was really me. So I'll go ahead and answer that question too. As we're doing this mentorship program, I will probably be in your energetic field a lot. I'm not doing it on purpose. That's my, we have a soul contract, which is why you're here and we're working together. And because of that soul contract, I have set the intention that my soul energy is available to anyone that I am working with in this way, in this mentorship, or students or apprentices. So that's why you really don't need to email me every time you need support. All you have to do is say, Bloom's Healing Team, I need your help, and you will feel energy show up for you. I have set that intention. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I've set that so that my energy, my soul energy, and my support team in the realms can be with you, and my physical body doesn't get pulled on. I don't feel drained. It doesn't pull from me. I have set it up in such a way so that my energetic framework can be available, but I don't get pulled on. Now, having said that, sometimes I do feel people pulling. I do feel people reaching out, because what y'all don't get is you're dealing with me one-on-one, but I have hundreds of people every month who reach out to me or connect with me. And, you know, so it's not just you and me, me and you. So I've learned to tap in and track the energy. If I'm feeling a little wonky, I can tap in and go, is that me? No, that's somebody else. And I don't necessarily know who it is, but I know that it's not my stuff. And I can clear it if I start to feel pulled on, or if I start to feel someone else's depression or someone else's stress. Sometimes it's the collective that I'm feeling. So just know that if I show up to you in a dream, it's all of the above. Is it an archetype? Yes. Is it actually me? Sure. Hopefully I'm doing really nice, supportive things. Is it a symbol? Yes. I mean, ultimately, it's a symbol and an archetype of whatever you're receiving in the dream. And I get messages every single week from people. Some people that I haven't talked to in years will say I showed up in their dreams. Usually my dream time will get super amped up and I don't sleep very deeply because I'm getting worked on and I'm working in my dream time. And that's when I'll start receiving all the messages from people that I showed up to them. So I'm available to you in the realms. It doesn't pull on me if you connect with me in the realms and need support. If you do a shamanic journey and you want some guidance, you can call me into your shamanic journey. People do that all the time. People tell me about it after the fact. I'm available that way. That's how I work with my teachers. My teachers don't physically live in Asheville and Black Mountain. So when I go into the realms, I talk to them there. I call in the maestros and the maestros that I work with, and I can have conversations with them in the realms, and I will receive support and guidance and healing and the things that I need. And I know that it's them because it's not the way I talk. You know, I had someone message me or was talking to me and said, I was talking to you in the realms and I knew it was you because you were saying things that I don't know. And that's what happens with me and my teachers. And that's the beauty of shamanic journeying, is you can go into the realms and you can talk to anybody. Amma was in Atlanta this weekend and I was doing cacao ceremony in Atlanta. So I went into the realms to talk to Amma so I could link in with that beautiful medicine while I was there sharing the ceremony with people. You can talk to anybody in the realms as long as they're willing to talk back to you. It just takes practice to do that. So hopefully that answers that question. And I told Caitlin I wanted to answer it here in the group because a lot of people ask me about the dream time. So if you do a lot of work in dream time, I encourage you to journal. Write down what you're getting in the dream time. There's a lot of good medicine there. What can happen, though, is that sometimes people don't do their work when they're in this waking time. And so they get inundated in their dreams because the energies are pushing through because your monkey mind's out of the way and you're finally asleep and you're not busy. So the energies can push through and get your attention. If you want to do proactive work, then you need to be journeying. And then, because if my dream time gets just totally busy, 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 squirrely, it means I need to be doing more prayers during the day. It means I'm not sitting in my personal practice enough, and the energies are pushing through when I'm asleep to get my attention, okay? So it doesn't mean you can't do work in the dream time. You just want to find the balance of doing work in the dream time while also doing work in this dream realm that we call the waking time so that you can be proactive and so that you can co-create your dream. Any other questions? Anybody got anything you want to work with? Let's do some mojo. Let's do some mojo. Who wants to do some mojo? Don't make me call on people.
I'll talk. Are you getting feedback?
A little bit, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So tonight I felt was very potent, and you were totally speaking to me.
About the money piece?
Yes.
Okay.
And like last week when you talked about intention, that was part of my intention, was the financial aspect of it. And I know that it goes deeper than just money. I know that, and I'm trying to shift and work with that. And so I appreciate that. And I feel, too, I'm working with like the worthiness of it. Mm-hmm. And also then like the shame and the guilt that comes along with what I'm wanting to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt that time. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And one of the things you all can do when you work with the Munari, and I felt the guilt and the shame, but I didn't bring that up tonight because I didn't want to focus on that. It's there. But no, it's totally great that you brought it up, and I'm glad you did. You can ask the Munari, you literally say, I choose to deactivate programs of guilt and shame with grace and ease throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms. So be it, it is so. It is that simple. Just keep saying that, right? And I activate programs of flow, ease, worthiness, self-worth, self-love, nurturance, nourishment. Because a lot, like you said, Paige, it's not just about money. It's nourishment. It's stability. It's that root chakra stuff. Home, feeling safe, feeling comfortable in your skin. If you're not in your physical body, if you're not feeling safe and embodied, then it's really hard to manifest because your energy is all spread out and kaleidoscoped, which is the soul loss piece, which is why we do soul retrieval. And then the universe is looking at your vibration and can't figure out where your energetic mailbox is. Can't find your bank account. Can't find, you know, all of it. I mean, not that it can't find it literally, but you know what I mean? Your energy's just kaleidoscoped, and we want to get you embodied, feeling grounded and safe and fully embodied. And then what you choose to manifest, you literally see how you are co-creating your experience. If you have soul loss, which again is why we do soul retrieval, if you have soul loss and your energy is scattered like that and it's kaleidoscoped out, then you're going to be picking up other people's stuff. You're going to be feel overwhelmed by energy. You're not going to be able to clear the PTSD and the trauma. You might have physical health issues that just don't ever seem to shift. The financial piece can get wonky. Relationships don't seem clear. There's just more drama than you need because you're like one of those, you know, those little fragmented pieces of magnet. You take the big magnet, you suck them all together. It's like your energy is like all those little fragments, and we need to bring it together so that you feel more like a tree trunk and you're embodied, and then you're grounded. And then not only can you manifest, but you can manifest consciously. And so all the stuff we're going to do, the energetic grid work and everything that this is going to lead to, we've got to get you in your body first. So I encourage each of you to, check out that free webinar. If you signed up for my newsletter, you got it. There's a soul retrieval webinar. Do that soul retrieval. I call myself to myself throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms with grace and ease. Even if you just said that every day for the next 30 days, things would start to shift. Now, little caveat. For those of you that have not been doing work like this regularly, sometimes when you start doing these practices regularly, you can hit a bit of a, things can get a little more intense before they get better, kind of like a detox. When you start cleansing or detoxing, or things might get a little squirrely. Like you do all this mojo and you're, you know, all these different things happen, that then all your money has to go to that. You know, and that's just the old paradigm clearing out. What happens 99.9% of the time is people start doing this work, things start to detox and clean up, they get freaked out, they go back into their old patterns. So they just end up in, they just stay in that loop. So we're going to cancel clear all of that. That's why we're going to invoke grace and ease. We're going to shift all of this with grace and ease so that you don't have to go through any kind of drama to get the lesson, right? But if you will just start calling in your soul aspects, I call myself, say your name, I, state your full name, I, Florcita Bloom Post, call myself to myself throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms. I receive all of my soul aspects with grace and ease right now. So be it, it is so. See, I'm just making that up off the cuff. It's not the same exact wording every single time. I just call it in as I feel it. So it's okay if you say some of the words a little differently, but if you'll start doing that, you'll start getting more embodied and the manifestation can really shift. So that's a good one. Let me put my glasses on here. Granny Bloom. Okay. Can you help with how do we know our animal totem spirit guides and ancestors?
And Bloom, I think Julie wanted to be unmuted to ask a question too.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, there's a relationship thing. Yeah, what's up, Jules? Julie Johnson.
Are you unmuted?
Can you hear us?
I can.
So Marianne is at my house today. So
hi, Marianne.
But the question was actually Marianne's, but I'm sure it will somehow relate to us all.
Okay.
She has a specific question about her relationship, so I'll let her talk.
Hello. So I had this boyfriend, and we broke up back in April because he was doing some drugs and stuff. And so I've been working on clearing and cutting cords for this, and I felt like I was getting to a point where I was good. And then I was walking to Julie's house, and I ran smack into him in the alley. And so it all came back again, like all these
like a couple hours ago.
Yeah, just a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, that's perfect timing. Thank you, Spirit, for that perfect divine timing so you would ask this question right now, because if it had happened 2 days ago, you might not have thought to ask. So what happens is the parade of goodbyes. I want everybody to practice this. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. That's the Queen's wave, okay? So I'm being facetious, but seriously, I like to make it fun. Let's have fun with this. If you're laughing, you're healing. So I do the Queen's wave. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. So what happens is when you clear cords with somebody, usually when you do that cord clearing process, you'll feel much better afterwards. And then 2 days later or 2 weeks later or 20 days later, they will show up or they will email or they will call you. And it's this funny little thing where the energy circles back around and goes, do you mean it? Because we can run through this loop again if you want. And you get to go, and you either freak out and jump in the loop again, right? Or you go, woo, I see that loop. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. Have fun with it. Laugh at yourself. Laugh that you got triggered. Laugh that he is the last person you want to run into. And when you have karmic contracts with somebody or you have soul contracts, especially if it's somebody that is like a birth family member or a family member that you grew up with or somebody that you have had sex with, a lover, a partner, you know, we tend to need a little more time to clear it. Like if there's somebody that you worked with for a month and they were kind of a jerk and you do a cord clearing, they'll usually clear out real easy. So it's different depending on your relationship with them. So if he was a lover and a boyfriend, there's definitely, it's going to circle back around and go, here's this karmic program. Want to play again? And that's when you get to go, ooh, done that. Elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. And if you need to run, haul ass out of that alley, you do it. Even if he's like, what's wrong with her? Why is she running away? You just go, girl. Just go. And do the clearing again if you need to. Just do it again. If you got all triggered and all that stuff came up again, I don't want to say it's a test because I don't feel that we live in a universe that is, you know, test going, ooh, ooh, I'm going to psych you out. It feels more, my world is benevolent. But at the same time, it's an opportunity to go, did I really mean that? Did I get the lesson? Do I want to walk through this drama again? And so you were offered that opportunity, and that happens 100% of the time. When people clear stuff, something pops up. Even if it's somebody who's dead, the person will message me later and go, oh my gosh, I cleared my dad, and then I found a box of his clothes. You know, like that always pops up. To me, that's confirmation that what you did worked. If it hadn't worked, you probably wouldn't run into the brother. You know, like it, to me, it's always confirmation that it worked. Because it's your opportunity to see what you did and choose to keep it clear. So if you need to do the cord clearing again, just do it again. And if you need to do it every day for the next 3 months, just do it every day. Just do it. Keep doing it until it really doesn't touch you anymore. And that can take some time, especially if you're with somebody for a long time or if you had really deep karmic stuff with them. It can take a little time. I mean, I've spent 2 years clearing somebody. And I remember the first time I heard his name and nothing happened in my body. And I went, oh, yes. All right. Finally. Yeah. You know, like no triggers, no nothing. It was completely neutral. And sometimes, and I have other people that I can get neutral with in one clearing. It just depends. So I feel like that was perfect timing. He showed up so that you would get that opportunity right before you came to step into the space. You set that up perfectly so that you can immediately clear it and step out of it. and not go into that rabbit hole again with him. You've got some karma with him, and what I'm receiving from counsel is that you're, and you can tell me if this doesn't resonate for you. What I'm receiving from spirit is that your challenge with him is the reason you need to step out is because you'll easily go into savior mode. So you can't, are you nodding yes? Okay. Yeah. So that's why you need to steer clear. And if you want to really support him, do the cord clearing so you're free and clear, which supports him in being free and clear and making his better decisions, and send your healing team without any attachments or expectations or, you know, just say, I'm sending my healing team so I know he's taken care of because it's not my responsibility. If you go into savior mode, then you're in that triangle of perpetrator, savior, victim. And we don't need to be in that triangle. We want to step out of that triangle. So that's why he's showing back up to go, are you sure you don't want to save me? Because you love being in savior mode and you're so good at being responsible and you want to help people. You have such a good heart. Come save me. Come down into hell with me. Okay. Yeah. Right. So that's just an opportunity for you to go, elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, wrist. My healing team is with you and I'm going over here to do awesome things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And believe me, everybody who's on this call knows exactly what we're talking about. They've all, look at them all nodding. Yep. Like, we've all had that, oh, it's come back around. Oh, you again. Whether it's a person, place, situation, or thing, we all get it. And it will come back around. That's honestly, I've done clearing with people. And they're like, I haven't seen this person in 10 years. I did the clearing and they called me the next day. After like a decade of not talking to the person, that's because their soul energy felt it. But this guy, like I said, he's just an opportunity for you to step out of savior mode and start taking care of you. So just do the clearing as often as you need to until you feel an equanimity. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add, Marianne? Okay. Cool. Yeah.
I really want to know about animal totems, spirit guides, and ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, Elaine put, pretty sure money is fragmented out for me. Yeah, for money's it's not that money's fragmented out, although I get what you're saying. It's that our energy is fragmented. We have soul loss in the shamanic perspective. And so, everything gets fragmented. If our energy is fragmented, then it's just challenging to manifest in our highest vibration and our most expansive experience. And so your money's peace will feel fragmented. Your ability to step into your gifts, your ability to feel connected with other people and with yourself, it's all there. So, yeah, Elaine, I totally hear you on that. So how do you know animal totem guides, spirit guides, ancestors, all that good stuff? So the way you know is you go into a shamanic journey. And also, if you don't have my book, Shaman's Toolbox, it'll totally walk you through all of this. So if you want something to read that shares my story and can also teach you a lot of these basics, you can find it on Kindle or on Amazon. The basics, though, are go into a shamanic journey and see who shows up. And don't overthink it. If you're like, I'm sitting in the woods and this whale walked up on his fins, why is there a whale in the woods? Don't go there. Just focus on whale, you know, ask whale why whale is there and what they have to share with you. If you have spent your whole life seeing hawks everywhere you go, then you probably want to connect in with hawk in a shamanic journey and ask them, be my teacher. Or, what can you share with me? What can I learn with you? And ask them to be a guide. To me, there's a difference between totems and allies. For me, totems, just using animals as an example, animal totems would be the ones that are with you all the time. So if your whole life, you've always, like maybe when you were a little girl, you were totally obsessed with frogs, or a little boy. You could be a little boy too. And so your whole life, it's been frogs, 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 stuffed frogs, glass frogs, frogs hopping around in your yard. You always run around. Then frog might be a totem for you. Whereas an ally is a totem that kind of comes in as you need it and isn't always there. So for me, certain totems have been with me my whole life. Like ever since I got really specific on this journey, the first guides that showed up were like bear, deer, spider, which was, took me years to figure out how to work with spider. I was like, why is there this big, huge spider hanging right above me all the time? But I really wasn't prepared 20 years ago to talk to spider. I was a little weirded out. There were a few others that came in, and some of whom I avoided because I was like, I just wasn't prepared to work with them. But then I have certain allies, like Frog for me is an ally, especially if I'm getting ready to sing for ceremony. Frog will come in sometimes because Frog is about throat chakra, speaking your truth, singing, toning. It's great medicine for that if you do toning work or vocals. So Frog will show up as an ally for me, but isn't necessarily with me all the time. So that's how I personally distinguish between an ally and a totem. And the way that you know is that you consistently connect with them in journeys. The old paradigm way is that you go and do a vision quest and you have a vision and you know that that's your guide. But the truth is your guide is who you decide it is. So if you really, really, really want to work with dragon, then go into the realms and say, dragon, teach me, show me stuff, take me flying, teach me how to blow fire and do cool stuff and ride on the back of that dragon or step into dragon's body and become dragon, open up your wings. Flick your big old dragon tail, like play with it, have fun with it. You can also decide who your guides are, you know? And I don't mean that from an egotistical place of, well, I am the great eagle of all things. You know, I just mean from a place of choosing to connect in with that energy because it's always resonated for you. If it's always resonated for you, then it's probably a totem. So, and I think this is Marie who asked. So Marie, it's really about practice. A lot of people say, I don't have an imagination, and that's not true. We've just forgotten how to use it. And spirit speaks to you through your sacred imagination. So what happens is people start second-guessing themselves, whether it's in a cord-clearing journey or just a journey to connect with your guides, people will start second-guessing themselves, feeling like they're making it up. Oh, I saw a turtle on the side of the road, so that must be why I'm seeing it. I'm making it up. You saw a turtle on the side of the road and it's showing up in your journey because it wants to get your attention. So sometimes people message me and they're like, I saw a deer on the side of the road. What does it mean? Well, I don't know. What was going on with you? What were you thinking? Maybe deer ran across the road so you would slow down and not drive so fast. Like part of it is don't overthink it. Don't stop your life every time you see a bug, you know, but at the same time, just be aware, pay attention, take it in. Be open to receive counsel. You'll get more and more clear about who your guides are. If certain ancestors show up, you mentioned ancestors, like maybe a Native American ancestor shows up, talk to them, ask them who they are, ask them if they have a name that they'd like them to call you, you know, if they want to be called grandmother or grandfather, or if they have a specific name, ask them to teach you, ask them why they're there, ask them if they have gifts for you that can support and assist you. As you ask questions and you're proactive, then it'll start to make more sense and it'll get easier. So it really is practice. Hopefully I answered that in a way that's supportive to you. But if not, let me know. What else have we got here? I get through my portal door and then I go out. No journey. I just pass out. Well, Lisa, I think for you, so her question is, I have been making it through my portal door, see my guides, and then no journey. She just passes out. So part of it might be that you're healing. I know you got a lot of physical healing going on right now, and so you're going to be physically tired, and your body might need rest. And I know that sounds, I don't say that to blow off your question at all. I think that's really a lot of what's going on. I have a friend who I would sit and plant medicine ceremony with from time to time, and we would just be getting right into the medicine, and he would go, and it was the most annoying thing. He would always fall asleep. I'm like, dude, why do you pay all this money and show up and drink this medicine and then pass out, you know? And what it was that he never stopped to rest. So when he would get into the medicine space, the medicine would just knock him out because he was exhausted. And he wouldn't take time to rest like that. Another thing that can be happening, and I don't necessarily know that this is what's happening with you because I know your situation, you might literally just be tired And so your body wants to heal. But what can also happen is that sometimes the work needs to happen at such a deep level that we will fall asleep so that we can get worked on at a deep level that our mind can't necessarily stick with. That can happen in plant medicine ceremony too. So that might be part of what's going on. Another thing that can happen is that sometimes, and I don't necessarily think this is happening with you, Lisa, but it's sometimes something that can happen. Sometimes people will go in and everything goes blank because you're in resistance or you're avoiding something. So when people say to me that they can't see anything, that lets me know that they haven't really opened up to their medicine. Your sacred space is representative of what's going on in your gifts, in your medicine world. That's your medicine. So if somebody tells me that they go into a space and it's all barren and empty and dry, and that lets me know that they haven't really explored their shamanic gifts. If somebody goes in and their space is so lush that you can barely even get through it, they have a lot of medicine gifts that are right there waiting to get used. That's why when I sit with people individually, that's why I ask them, what does it look like there? Because whatever you're stepping into is very archetypal and very symbolic of what you're working with internally. So don't beat yourself up if you end up in a desert. There's nothing wrong with that. It just means that you might want to bring in some lush energy and ask to manifest in that space. You can have a very beautiful, lush desert space too, but often if it's just completely empty, it's because you haven't really yet stepped up to what you have the opportunity to work with. And if you start to shut down and fall asleep, sometimes that can be because you're in resistance to what wants to show up. So that's what I would offer to you, Lisa. I know that people don't always want to hear that. They don't feel, they're like, I don't feel like I'm in resistance. But if you go in and everything just kind of shuts down and you start to get tired, for some people, and again, Lisa, you just came out of a big operation, so don't think this is 100% what's happening with you. At the same time, sometimes people will go into a shamanic journey, immediately get tired because we're getting ready to go into some shadow, and it's a way of shutting down so that we don't look at it. Fatigue is the most insidious way to get you to shut down. It's obvious if you're shutting down with alcohol or with food or with sex or with cigarettes or with drugs. Like, those are obvious things if you have attachments to those. You usually know if you're shutting down with those things. But being tired, most people don't realize they're actually shutting themselves down because they're actually tired. However, if you will push through that, if you get to these sessions and you're like, oh, I'm so tired, and then you actually show up and push through, you'll find that there's actually medicine there. And sometimes the best way to get us to shut down and stay in our programming is to have us constantly feel tired. So there really can be resistance energy that will literally make us feel fatigued so that we'll shut down and not go look. That's how programming can work. I just realized it's 8:14, so. So did that help, Lisa? A little bit? Okay. So, yeah, I also feel like your body's really tired right now, and you're probably getting worked on at a deep place. I really believe that, just because of what you're working on. But you also want to just maybe journey at different times. It's 8:00 at night, so people might be a little sleepier. If you're a morning person, journey in the morning. If you're more of an afternoon, you know, journey when you're going to be most awake and see if that helps. I think I covered everybody's questions. It's 8:15. That time just flew. Yeah. So let's close up the space. Let's take a moment and breathe into our bellies. I want to tell everybody, something's not muted. Can you mute everybody? Thank you. So just take a moment and breathe into your bellies. And let's remember that over the next 3 weeks, I am open to receiving. I love that. I'm so excited to do this with you all because this is all just, anyway, there's layers of what's happening. So I am open to receive. Thank you, Munari, for continuing to work on us for the next 48 to 72 hours specifically. And then the Munari will continue to work with you. And I will see you in 1 week. And I want to just say thank you to all of our guys and all of our support. Anything you want to share in the Facebook group, or if you have questions, you can post them there and I'll answer them next time. And if you want to do any individual healing processes next time, we'll do that as well. So just keep me posted because I really want this to support each of you where you are. And I'm totally happy to answer questions, and I'm also happy to support anybody with some individual healing, and the whole group will receive it. But this was really fun. This was really great, and I'm very excited to see what happens with everybody as the Munari continue to work on you. So thank you very much, pure thought, pure speech, pure heart. As we close up this space, remain energetically clear and connected. Thank you all very much. You can unmute everybody now. We'll say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you for hosting, Paige. Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful night. Mwah.
Bye.
Hi, Anya.
Gracias.
Hi, Anya. I didn't see you there. Hi, Bridget. Hey, Anna Claire.